Well, if you know Christ Jesus, it is well with your soul this morning. Amen? Amen. That was a beautiful song. That was my one of my grandfather's favorite songs. We welcome you here today, and so good to see everyone here. And if you're a visitor, we welcome you and just offer to just make you feel at home. We want you to feel welcome. Make sure you get a chance, fill out the connection card in the pew there in front of you and drop it in the offering plate in a little bit. Just so that we can stalk you and put cameras in your residence, and you know, our deacons can spy on you. We like to do that. I'm totally kidding. If you don't know me, I'm teasing. We just want to get to know you better. It's just a way to follow up, and most importantly, to have you on record so that we can pray for you. And we welcome you here this morning, and all of you, I wanted to share something with you. I was reading this morning from Psalm chapter 36. It says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings." Isn't that confidence, knowing the depths of God's grace and mercy, his righteousness, that we can place our trust in the shadow of his wings. His salvation is with us eternally. I just want to offer you the time now just to still and quiet your hearts, clear your minds as we go before the Lord. There in the stillness, the privateness of your own heart, just speak with the Lord whatever it is that you may have on your heart today. Maybe you're a little weary. Maybe you're a little run down. Maybe you have some stresses, maybe some things that you just need to bring before the throne of God this morning. We want you to have that opportunity to align your heart with his here today. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the confidence that you give to us, that if we acknowledge you, if we follow you, if we trust you as our Lord and Savior, we can make that bold proclamation, "It is well with my soul." I thank you for the depths of your love and your mercy and your righteousness, your truth, your kindness, your grace, your forgiveness. Lord, I pray for those who are here today and maybe carrying many burdens. I pray that you would work in their heart and in their minds and in their lives. I pray that we would surrender to your conviction, to your correction, to your rebuke, to your encouragement, to your strength. Lord, would you bar our enemy and keep him from this place, and may we align our hearts and our minds with yours, that everything that is said and done and played and sung would be to the glory of Jesus, the Christ, our Messiah and King. We invite you here, Holy Spirit, and turn everything over into your hands, for this is your church, and we are your people. We ask all these things for your glory alone. In your name alone, we pray and exalt you as the one true living God. Amen.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb.
Children, we'll dismiss you to children's church this time. The rest of us, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 121. Psalms 121 is where we're going to be here this morning. Only 8 verses in this passage, but as is true of all other scripture, there's a lot of power here. I don't know if y'all have figured this out or not, but at some point, in some capacity, each and every one of us are going to experience difficulty. I don't know, maybe you've haven't crossed that bridge yet. If you haven't, come talk to me. I want to know your secret. But we're to go through some trials in this life. We're to go through difficulties in this life. That's just the reality of life. But more importantly, God has told us that very thing. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And these difficulties are just that, difficult. But one of the things that I've learned in my trials, my difficulties, maybe you know what I'm saying when I say this or what I mean, there's difficulty within the difficulty. You know what I mean? And some of the things that I've dealt with is maybe you can relate. Lord, why did this happen? Why did you let this happen? Or maybe, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? But perhaps the most difficult difficulty in the midst of your difficulty, did you follow that? That's right there with all, right? Is learning to praise God in the midst of a storm. Most of us, at least myself, I acknowledge that there's going to be difficulty, but when I come through it, my natural reaction is, okay, let's hurry up and get through this. I want to get through the difficulty as quick as I can, get it behind me. I think many of us struggle with this. We don't stop to consider perhaps one of the purposes of the storm is to make us stronger. Perhaps one of the purposes in the difficulty is to draw us closer to our Lord. Because as Ian Bounds said, our darkest hour is meant to be our sweetest communion with God. And I've learned that. We have to learn to praise God in the midst of our storm. It's easy to praise Him when everything's going right, or going how we would like it to go, or expect it to go, or anticipate it to go. But what about when those difficulties come, when we don't understand what it is that God is doing? Can we praise Him then? So this morning, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture that God has laid on my heart over the last several weeks. And I want to share some of the things that He has shared with me. How do we praise God in the midst of a storm? Father, we come before You this morning. We need You. We love You. We exalt You as the one true living God and ask that You have control here this morning. We commit all things into Your hands for the glory of Christ Jesus. Amen. The first thing that we see from Psalms chapter 121, how to praise God in a storm, is we've got to learn to get our focus and our attention off of ourselves, off of our circumstances, and place them on the Lord. In Psalm 121, verse number 1, it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. I will lift up my eyes. It gives the imagery of actually, you know, you're so focused on all the things that are going on around you and in your life, and some of the things are important, some of the things are just daily routine, some of the things are the circumstances, and we're constantly doing this. And God says, look up to me. hold your place here in Psalm 121. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Turn with me there. I'm going to read these to you, but I'm going to make you wake up this morning. So go to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verses 1 through 2. This is the thing that Paul is speaking to the church in Colossae. He's telling the believers in Colossae, if you are truly a believer, okay, he's going through the way that Christians are supposed to believe, how they're supposed to live, how they're supposed to act, how they're supposed to walk and talk and think. And in Colossians chapter 3, in verse number 1, Paul says, if then you were raised with Christ. In other words, if you're really a Christian, if you're really a Christ follower, he says, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Why do we have to seek something? We have to seek or look for something when it's not readily available, when it's not easily found. Folks, would you all agree with me that peace and joy and power and hope and victory and strength and might are not easily found in this world, yet alone in the midst of a trial? They are not easily found in the midst of difficulty. And there's a couple of reasons for that. They're not easily found because of the nature of the difficulty. And difficulties are relentless. Sometimes it just seems like it's one thing after another. They're painful. They're inexplicable. And another reason that they're not easily found is because of the nature of the one being attacked. We all are sinful human beings who are prone to focus on the things going around us, on our circumstances. And that's why it's so important we understand the second thing Paul says in verse number 2. He says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. The original Greek word there, the meaning or definition for the word set, it means to exercise your mind, to develop or maintain an opinion, self-interest on a particular topic or subject. Folks, one of the things we need to come into reality and into grips with, it is a choice. We choose what we focus and dwell on at all times, but especially in the midst of difficulty. I know it's easier said than done. I know that it's harder at times than others. But when we choose to dwell on the difficulty of our trial, when we choose to dwell on the pain, when we choose to dwell on the discomfort, then that is exactly what we're going to be consumed with. And now we start to see the importance of Scripture that talks about our thought life or how we discipline our minds. Scriptures like Isaiah 26:3 that says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Perfect peace, original Hebrew, shalom, shalom. Perfect peace only comes from God, the God of peace. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, where it says that we are to meditate on the things of God. The word meditate means to marinate. Let it saturate. Let it soak in the things of God. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, those who live according to their flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This is why, though, I want you to understand, we need to understand something here. It's so important that we are intentional in putting the things of God into our mind. It's a spiritual discipline that does not come naturally. And if we feed our mind with everything that the world has to offer, and that doesn't necessarily mean sinful things per se, if we just constantly fill our mind with everything but the things of God, you're not going to dwell or be able to set your mind on God and bring him praise in the midst of the storm, because we're focused on everything else that's going on around us. We have to be intentional about filling our minds with the things of God so that we can set our mind on the things above and not the things of this earth. So back in Psalms chapter 121, he says, I will lift up mine eyes, get them off of your circumstances and place them on God. Now notice here, he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Now, A better interpretation of this is actually, I will lift up mine eyes above the hills. What is this part of this verse talking about? The idolatrous nations and people of that time, they would actually build shrines, places of worship for their false gods. And they would set them in the mountains or in the hills of the surrounding areas there around Jerusalem and in that region. We see that in Jeremiah 3, Jeremiah 13, Jeremiah 17, Hosea chapter 4. Okay? And so they would set these shrines for the false gods on the hills, in the mountains. And what this verse is saying is, but the one true living God who made these hills is above all these things. So the ones who follow after Yahweh, the one who follow after God himself, need to cast their eyes above the wicked, perverse distractions and circumstances of this earth. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. The first thing that we have to learn and understand and what we have to do and be able to do in order to praise God in the storm, we got to get our eyes, we got to get our focus off of our circumstances and place it on the Lord. The second thing that we need to learn to do, we need to learn to remember where our help originates. You'll remember a few weeks ago, you'll recall that we talked about this was very similar to what David did when he faced Goliath and why he was able to face Goliath. One of the reasons was because David remembered who he served. Remember that? Remember when he was there talking to his brothers and Goliath came parading out like he had been for 40 days and 40 nights? And he was mocking Israel, he is mocking their God. And David goes, who's this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? Translated, broken down, what he was saying there is, who is this godless man that you're afraid of? Broken down even further, what he's saying is, have you forgotten who you serve? And we touched on how important it is that we, when we face our giants, when we go through our difficulty, we have to remember who we serve. This is the same context, the same understanding, the same meaning. We have got to remember where our help originates. And this is what the psalmist writes. Look there in verse number 2. He says, I will lift up mine eyes, and at the end of verse 1, from whence comes my help? Now, this is kind of a rhetorical question, or even a question to himself, or possibly to other people, okay, that the writer was posing this to. It's a shift of focus. You want to know? I'm just going to use myself as an example here again and again. You can develop your opinion on me however you want to, but I know y'all are in the same boat, so don't worry about it, okay? But you want to know one of the things that I constantly have asked myself when I go through difficulty? Where in the world is this coming from? Or why is this happening to me? Yeah, y'all can look away all you want to. I know that goes through your minds. I know. We've all been there. Lord, why? Couldn't you have done it some other way? Or why is this even happening? What have I done? But see, the shift of the focus is this. From whence comes my help? It changes it. It takes it from, why is this happening to me? To, Lord, I need you. Because we remember and have to set our focus on the source of our strength that is going to enable us to get through the difficulty. We know where the attacks come from, the spiritual attacks. There's a difference between being tempted and tested, right? God may allow certain things into our life to test us, to make us stronger, but he never tempts us. He never attacks us. He never crushes us. So when those things are happening, guess where they're coming from? Your enemy, my enemy, God's enemy, Satan. And he wants to destroy you. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. One of the questions that has been posed to me again and again is, well, if there is a God, a loving God like you claim, why is there so much evil and wickedness in the world? My first question, do you believe in God? No. Then you can't very well blame him, can you? And let me just follow that up with letting you understand that one of the greatest lies and deceptions of our enemy is that God is responsible for the filth and the perversion and the wickedness and the evil and the disease and the death that's going on in this world. He's not the problem. He's the solution. He's the cure through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we have to get our minds off of those things, and we need to remember where our help comes from. Where does my help come from? Look at what he says there at the beginning of verse 2. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. First thing we see here, it's a personal help. It's not just a random help. It's not a red, what's that commercial? Staples? That you push the easy button? You know, that's not what we're talking about here, okay? Okay? This is something much more personal and powerful than that. My help. God stands ready to help me. It's along the same lines of what we see in Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I love that. I cannot selfishly, but I can lovingly say, God is my shepherd. He's your shepherd too if you've accepted him as your Lord. And he's my help. My God is personally involved with my difficulties. He has a personal investment in my trials. He has a personal interest in the things that I'm going through and the things that he leads me through and the things that he wants me to learn and the things that he knows that are burdening me. He has a personal investment in this. And this isn't just any help, but look, my help comes from who? Come on, talk to me. The Lord, not a God, not the gods. It comes from the Lord, the one true living God. And this God is the one who did what in verse 2? He made heavens and earth. He spoke everything into existence. The earth, as it spins on its axis, is perfectly placed. God's hand did that. His voice did that. My help comes from the God who has named all the stars, who's told every lightning bolt where it can go, who has told the oceans how far they can come up, who has his eye on every one of the sparrows, who tells the rain and the snow when and where it can fall, who has numbered all the hairs on my head. My help comes from the God of this universe. And I know that we all go through attacks from Satan and the powers of darkness, but make no mistake, this earth is the Lord's, and he's in authority and power and control, not our enemy. My help comes from the Lord. This was so personal to me. Several weeks ago, when I kissed the baseball, No, there was no consumption involved. And I'm just going, God, I don't get this. And one of the things that I dealt with was the uncertainty, and we have great medical advances, and I'm thankful for that, but the uncertainty that the doctors and everybody were giving me. One of my favorite memories of it, if there is such a thing, was, I believe Rebecca, she was in there when the doctor said, you're not going to be able to talk for 6 to 8 weeks. You need to heal. And I'm just going, that's not going to work. And I started praying. I'm like, Lord, I don't get this. I don't know what you're trying to teach me through this, but I know that I'm your servant. And you called me into ministry, and if you want me to keep doing this, you got to heal me. Not because you have to, but because I need you. Because the doctors are uncertain in their diagnosis and what's going to be able to happen and going on. And Lord, please, will you please heal me? And I remember getting up the next morning when I started praying this, I'm like, Lord, I'm in your hands, okay? And Rebecca goes, wow. You know, that's what you want to hear your wife say when she looks at you first thing. Wow, you're not so ugly as you were last night. You know, she goes, the swelling has really gone down. And I started moving my lip for the first time. I started pronunciating words again. 3 weeks after that happened, the oral surgeon who did it that night walked into the office. I'm not kidding. I had to pick his jaw up off the floor. He walked in and I'm going, look, man, it ain't that bad. You know, it only is going to get so good, you know. He goes, can I take a picture of you? I'm going, most people don't ask that, right? You know? He's like, wow. He came up close. I'm going, okay, brother, you're getting a little too close for comfort now. You know, don't like another dude getting that close to my face. But he's going, you even have the outline of the top, whatever the medical term was at. And he was just amazed. Oh, we serve an awesome God. I remember when I began to pray that, and I was broken, and I was scared, and I was worried, and I was anxious, and I was fearful. God brought me to this passage. And he said, where does your help come from, Zach? You, Lord. What have I done, Zach? You've created everything, including me. I made you. I can mend you. My help comes from the Lord. He has my mouth and sinuses and teeth and stitches and lip in his hands. He has your difficulty right now in the palm of his hand. He knows what you're going through. He knows that you're hurting. He knows that you're surrounded by difficult circumstances. And he's saying, get your chin up and look at me. Don't listen to the voice that's telling you that you can't overcome. Don't listen to the giant who is intimidating you or scaring you, but you focus on the God of your salvation. Your help comes from the Lord. So we have two principles. Two things that we look at. How do we praise God in the midst of a storm? Get our focus off of our circumstances and place it on the Lord. We need to remember where our help comes from. But what are the results? Look at verse number 3. It says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The first thing that we see is that we are secure. He will not allow your foot to be moved. The Hebrew for the word moved means to keep it from slipping or sliding or stumbling. To keep you, to keep us from being vulnerable, from staggering. He will keep you from being moved. Listen to these verses. I had to read these to you from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. From Psalm 61 and 62. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 62, 1 and 2. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And in chapter 125, in verse number 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. When you place your trust in the one true living God, in Jesus Christ, there is nothing that can move you. There is nothing that can stagger you. Oh, we may get knocked down. We may experience difficulty. But God says, get back up. I got you. You're not going to be overwhelmed by this. And that's what he goes on to say. You say, well, how do I have this affirmed that I'm not going to be moved? Look there in verse 3 and 4. For he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The God who created the heavens and the earth doesn't need a day off. He doesn't go to sleep. He doesn't miss something in your life. Nothing catches him by surprise. He isn't taken off guard. But the God who has created everything is constantly watching over each and every one of us. Psalm 32:8 says, I will guide you with my eye. He always has his eye upon us. He's always watching us. He's always encompassing us. He's holding us. He will not allow us to stagger or to slip or to stumble or to fall and be permanently cast down. we're secure. When we get our attention focused off of our circumstances and place them on God and remember where our trust comes from, if it comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth, we are secure. Now look at verses 5 and 6. The next result, the Lord protects and covers us. It says in verse 5, the Lord is your keeper, which is also translated protector. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, this is a very interesting passage. The first thing you see there, the Lord is your keeper, protector, that's self-explanatory, but then the Lord is your shade at your right hand. As I studied this, there are many commentators who talked about the predominant hand is a symbol of what we constantly are about doing. It's a sign of what we set out to do on a daily basis. And, okay, but as I began to study more and more and more, I'm going, that's not the main focal point. The main focal point of that verse is the Lord is your shade at your right hand. What the psalmist is expressing here is the God of this universe isn't just looking down upon you and just doesn't see and know all the things that are happening to you. He hovers over you like a shadow. He's shadowing you. He's covering you. He's protecting you day and night. When you go to get under the shade of a tree, where do you got to go? Do you stand like 500 feet away? No, you get right up under the tree, do you not? That's the same imagery that we have here, that the shade of God covers and protects and hovers over those who are His. He's our shade. And then it says there, look at verse number 6, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. What's the meaning by this? I believe there's three facets, main facets and meaning of this. First, it's the physical care. In that region of Jerusalem and the surrounding places, there's a lot of desert, and there's intense heat. But also at nighttime, you can experience drastic temperature drops that are actually dangerous to your health if you don't have the proper protection, shelter. God says, I am that care. I'm that protection. The second thing that we see about the day and the night is simply He's protecting us from all enemies, the enemies that are going to come, and the psalmist there in Israel and talking about His children. He protects us from all the things that are going to come, the possibilities, day and night. But then the third one is very intriguing. We know that the Jewish people follow after a lunar calendar. We know that from Psalm 81, verse 3, and several other scriptures. But the depths of that is this, from this scripture. The psalmist is saying God watches over you day and night, day by day, week by week, year by year, month by month, season by season. Everything you go through, God says, I'm right here next to you, and I'm watching over you at all times. Whatever it is that you're going through, God says, my eye is upon you. I see you in the difficulty. I see you in the storm. I see you in the trial. I see you when you're heartbroken. I see you when you're burdened. I see you when you're downtrodden. I see you when you're discouraged and depressed. I see you, and I'm close here with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So we're secure. We're covered and protected. And now verses, you know what? Hold on just a second. I want to read this to you. I was going to put it up there as a reference. I feel like I want to read it to you. Just listen. Listen to Psalms 91, verses 1 through 6. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. always there, always close, always hovering over us. We're secure. We're covered and protected. And the third thing from verses 7 through 8, as a result of casting our eyes upon the Lord and remembering where our strength comes from, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. We are preserved. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The word there, some of you, your translations may have the word keep. A more emphatic understanding of this word there is preserve. What does preserve mean? The Hebrew is shamar, which means to hedge about or protect. The hedge in front of and hedge behind. Listen to these verses from Psalms 139:5 and 125:2. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. I know about you, but when you're going through a trial, when I'm going through a storm, I love having the imagery of God doing this to me. I'm right here. Why do you lay your hand on somebody? Comfort them, but also to let them know, I'm right here. I got you. It's okay. I got you. Feel the hand of God in the midst of that difficulty and that trial. You cast your care upon Him. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. We are preserved. What does He preserve, though? Well, look at there in verse 7 again. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. What is this? Again, physical care. Now, let me point this out. I want to pause here for a moment. It doesn't mean that nothing bad is going to happen to you, folks. God has never promised us that. But what He is saying is you won't be overwhelmed by it. You won't be running to the ground by it. You're not going to be destroyed by it. Look at the majority of the Psalms. Who are they written by? David. I think David went through some difficulties, don't you? God allowed him to experience those things for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is so he would write about them so we can be encouraged with them today. And here's something where we say, well, Pastor, what about those missionaries and those Christians around the world who are being killed for their faith? It's happened century after century. Where's God's protection there? We got to look at things through God's eyes and not through human eyes. And that's where the second point, what He preserves us from, comes into play. Look at what He says. It says there in verse number 7, He shall preserve your soul. You are preserved eternally. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, no matter what Satan does to you, no matter how he oppresses you, no matter how he attacks your ministry, no matter how he attacks you physically, no matter how he attacks your finances, no matter how he attacks you over and over again, he cannot obtain your eternal soul because it's blood bought through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if he brings us to the point that we suffer physical death, I'm still going on living for eternity with Jesus Christ, my Lord in heaven. And we all need to square with that fact, folks. We all are going to one of two places when we leave this physical tent, as Paul describes the body. Our soul is eternal, and it's just as real as we are here today. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, His promise is that we will spend eternity with Him in heaven forever. There is no end, no punch out, no whistle signaling the end. Forever, eternally. But if you do not accept Him, if you reject Him, there is no excuse. Then there is a place called hell that is prepared for Satan and his followers and those who have said, I don't want your Jesus. I don't want the love. I don't want the forgiveness. I don't believe it to be true. And you will spend eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. That's God's word, not mine. And if I didn't believe it, I would make you feel good and fluff everything up good for you this morning. And I wouldn't tell you the bad news that we're sinners in need of a Savior. But the joy of the bad news is that there's good news. And the good news is that Jesus has said that he has come to take your place, my place, our place of our sinful flesh on the cross at Calvary. He didn't just die so we can have two holidays on our calendar, Easter and Christmas. He came that we would know and experience the forgiveness of sin that only Jesus Christ can forgive and cleanse us from. If there was another way, he would have made it, folks. But the only way that our sin could be pardoned was through a sinless sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice. And the only one who could fulfill that sacrifice was Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God. And he has laid that before you this morning by laying himself on the cross 2,000 years ago. And the validity of that claim is that his resurrection showed that he has power over sin and death. It was validated through the fact that his tomb was empty 3 days after he died, and it's still empty today. So he preserves our soul eternally. Listen to what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1. You don't need to go there. I'm going to read these to you. 1 Peter chapter 1. There are so many passages there too. Don't ignore the verses I put up there for y'all, okay? Write those down. Go read them under the certain points. Not right now. Listen, okay? This is later on. 1 Peter chapter, like, man, this guy, he's confusing us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, we talked about that Wednesday night, didn't we? According to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When you accept Christ Jesus as your Savior, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit and with his promise. That's it, Satan. Can't have me. Blood bought, purchased at the cross of Calvary. I've accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You can't touch me. Oh, you can oppress me. You can attack me. You can knock me down. But through the power of my God, I'll get back up again. And if you want to kill me, then fine, I'll spend eternity with my risen Savior forever and ever. They thought that they were victorious over Jesus at the cross of Calvary. And what the book of Colossians says is that he made a public humiliation and embarrassment of the powers of death. Because he said, you knock me down, that's fine. Go ahead, 3 days later, come back. Yep, go ahead, roll the stone in front of the grave. Won't hold me. Put your guard there, won't hold me. Put your seal there, Herod, Pilate, won't hold me. No power of death can keep him down. He preserves us eternally. And then the third thing he preserves us from, the Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What is that? Your daily activities. Everywhere you go. Everything you do. God's hovering over you. He's watching you. He cares for you. Protects you. Provides for you. Strengthens you. Leads you. Listen to what it says in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 8. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. When I went through this season, especially the last one, there was a lot of things that God showed me, a lot of things that I was dealing with. And I remember there was something that resonated in my heart and my mind. God brought me to this passage of Scripture. It was one that my mom read to me over and over and over again when I was a kid growing up. And I started thinking about this song. And very early on, I can remember still when I was trying to open my eyes the second or third day and it was still real blurry, I just closed them again. And there was a song that resonated deep in my heart. And it challenged me, even in the midst of difficulty when I was hurting, God loves us enough to say, is your faith strong enough, Zach? Are you faithful enough to praise me in this storm? Listen to this song just for a moment. You guys can go ahead and play. You know that. Let's sing that together out loud this morning.
And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King.
I pray for each and every heart and mind that is here today, oh God. Father, I praise you and I thank you that you have met me in my storm. Thank you that you have given me opportunity to experience the difficulty so that I would know you more. God, for those who are here today that are going through a raging storm, who are fighting a battle, who are heartbroken or burdened, God, whatever the case may be, I pray that they would cast their eyes upon you. Lord, let them remember where their strength comes from. Father, may they experience your keeping, your security, your protection, your hovering, your preservation. Father, see them through this and make us stronger as a people for it, that we would stand boldly and proclaim the truth of the gospel of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anyone here and say, with a slip, show of your hand, Pastor, please pray for me. I'm in the midst of a storm, a battle, a difficulty of some sort. Yes, and I need prayer. I need to cast my eyes upon the one that will give me help and strength to see me through. Yes, yes, all over. All over, yes. Thank you. Now there are some here, would you say, Pastor, I don't know this Jesus that you described. I've never accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I haven't experienced his forgiveness of my sin. But I want to make that eternal decision today to know him, accept him as my Lord, as my God. Say, how do I do that? You acknowledge that you're a sinner. You believe what Christ has done for you, that he was nailed to the cross and rose again 3 days later. And you call on his name. Lord, save me. Is there anyone here today with every head bowed and every eye closed say, Pastor, I want to know how to accept that forgiveness. Would you slip your hand up and slip it down? I want to accept Christ Jesus as my Savior. Father, we come before you now. This invitation time is yours. Pray that you would be with the musicians as they play, as the hearts that sing, the mouths that speak, the knees that may be bowed, the hearts that may be broken. May you be glorified through it. May we understand and truly know that you are the God who hovers over us. May we cast our eyes on you this morning. In the name of King Jesus, we ask all these things. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, you are such a great and awesome God, and I just pray that you will help us to always look up and remember where our help comes from. Lord God, to lean on your everlasting arms, we thank you so much. The assurance of our salvation, the fact that we don't have to worry about losing it every other day when we mess up. Lord God, we thank you for forgiveness, for grace, for mercy. Help us to live effectively for you, that we may bring you glory, because you deserve it all. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
This is Pastor Zach Furches. I thank you for being a part of our worship service here today and listening to the Word of God. I pray that he spoke to you through his Word and that you were blessed. If you would like to speak to myself or anyone regarding any questions you may have or any decisions that you have made today, you can go on our website at ClintonBibleFellowshipCT.org and contact us via the website or email or through phone call. Have a blessed day, and God bless.